So we continue our messianic profile in Psalm 21, examining the profile of a king, and in this section we'll be talking about his strength. The strength of Jesus Christ today is mostly misunderstood. Think for a moment in terms of his many healings. People see Jesus during his time on earth typically in one of two ways, either as a God with his own special powers where he can perform anything he sets his mind to. Perhaps there's a slight variation of that where Jesus does everything that he can, but in the end, the Father bails him out with his special powers. Or else we see the strength of Jesus as a spiritual facilitator. Okay, he's facilitating the connection of a hidden power within all of us to God. For instance, when Peter walks on water, the thought is that Peter's own faith is levitating him. Jesus is just there to connect Peter to this strength or this power from the Father. According to Jesus, though, all of the power being displayed was the Father's only. Jesus faithfully obeyed the Father when told what to say or what to do. These miracles were simply a confirmation by the Father that Jesus was being obedient. For instance, in John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle John writes, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." John also writes in chapter 14 of his gospel, verse 10, "Believest thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." In the Acts of the Apostles, in the 10th chapter, verse 38, Luke writes, and this is Peter, Luke is quoting Peter in one of Peter's sermons or one of Peter's confrontations. He says, Peter, that is, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now, I'm not saying that Jesus didn't have the power to do these things himself. I'm saying that it was not in the obedience set out for him to use them. And this is why Satan attempted to tempt Jesus in the wilderness into using his powers instead of the Father's. You have Jesus use Jesus' own powers instead of the Father's to prove himself to be this Messiah. Jesus wasn't about to fall for that. Given this bit of insight, you can see why Jesus swelled with joy when a blind man would be healed or a young girl quickened from a fever. It is because it is his Father's power working mightily without measure through him. As it says here in this psalm, "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord." Another aspect of Christ's strength, the strength to endure the punishment of all mankind's sin. Or sins. The physician Luke records Jesus that final night there in the garden. In chapter 22 of Luke, verses 43 and 44, Luke writes, "And there appeared an angel unto him." This is unto Jesus. An angel appears unto Jesus from heaven, strengthening him. "And being in an agony," okay, apparently some time has passed now, "and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So clearly something medical is happening to Jesus even before his capture that night. See, we'd like to think that this punishment placed upon Jesus for our sins happened at our own hands, right? The pain we physically inflicted upon him before and during the trial and crucifixion. Surely, several other men, perhaps even women, have also suffered such an agonizing fate, if not more so. Does that mean that the penalty of all of our sins was approximately equal to the penalty of just one of these other men and women that suffered similar fates? Does that make sense? You see how we're limiting, we're saying Jesus paid the price for all of our sins through what we were able to, you know, perpetrate upon him, you know, through his trial and his execution. Well, other people went through the same trial and execution. Did they pay for the sins of our, all mankind as well? You see the problem with that kind of theology. Notice also the strengthening extended by the angel precedes the sweating of his blood. In other words, the punishment was not in any way lessened for Jesus. It was that Christ was strengthened beforehand to suffer it in full. So what does all this mean? I believe it to mean that the punishment placed upon Jesus for all our sins was something much more than something merely physical. The human body was not built to endure and contain the punishment Christ suffered spiritually, and it was already beginning to fail, his body that is, under the stress of what Jesus was physically beginning to experience in a developing spirit separation from the Father. Christ's only strength in that time of spiritual anguish was not the joy of the present moment, but the joy of what this was all to mean for the Father and for mankind when finally endured and completed. In other words, as it's written here in Psalm 21, "The King shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." There's plenty to consider when meditating upon the strength of Jesus. The strength of the Father was this messianic king's joy. It was his joy to submit his own strengths under the Father's. It was his joy for the Father's strength to bring him down to earth through the womb of a young mother. His joy to have the Father's strength save him from the determined infanticide of King Herod, save him into Egypt, bring him back into Nazareth. It was this king's joy to have the Father's strength perform those first miracles, to have the Holy Spirit settle upon him like a dove, and then with a voice of the Father's confirmation, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." It is his joy to have the Father's strength still the waters, raise the dead, feed the thousands. It was his joy to see the Father operate on a man drop down from the ceiling, see a man by the pool pick up his cot and walk for the first time back to his home, see his disciples bust their nets with so many fish. It was his joy to see the Father not only rid a woman of seven demons, but also see that same woman bring her box of alabaster in recognition of his soon pending burial. But his joy was really full when he saw, by the Father's wondrous power, his friend's exceeding excitement, seeing him, the King, the risen King, that first time on the road back from the open gravesite. The joy to hear the shout calling out, "He is risen, he is risen." As it says here in Psalm 21, "The King shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice." Psalms 21, verse 5 and 6 now. "His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceedingly glad with thy countenance."